there are some reasons why that would be smaller than the police. One is the IRA had very few weapons. People forget this. So there's much less chance of accidental shooting and training. Most of their training was done without weapons. Where they did have weapons, they very often didn't have ammunition. So that comes into it. They may also have been in some ways more disciplined. The IRA relatively lose a good few men to explosions, not caused by their enemies, but caused by particularly manufacturing explosives. I think there are 5 men killed in a single incident in Wexford, for example, where they're manufacturing explosives and boom. In Croom and Limerick, I think 3 men die in Croom Courthouse while they're burning it down because they weren't used to petrol as a fuel. They were using it. And the point about petrol as compared with paraffin, which they were used to, is that petrol produces a gas. So in other words, you get a whoosh.
And in terms of the ones killed by the enemy, are we looking at ambushes of combat, of firing, or are we looking at assassinations and death squads and this idea?
Crowd forces kill a lot of people, not in ambushes, but in, I suppose, attempted arrests and so on. The IRA would kill a lot of police in ambushes, clearly. But there's also a fair amount of what I've called assassination of one kind or another. Important to stress, though, that even in, say, Cork, which was very violent, by and large, soldiers off duty in Cork City even were more or less safe. In Dublin, they were very safe. There were very few soldiers killed off duty in Dublin, even though they're soldiers. They weren't, if you like, legitimate targets. So there's a lot of nuances, and there's probably a lot of local nuances as well. If you take the police and the RIC, who totally, in a sense, bore the brunt of Republican attacks and did a lot of the reprisal killing, especially in the Black and Tans and all that, in some areas, the police lost almost no men. You know, I think at Laois, I don't think there's a single police fatality during the War of Independence. In about 10 counties, there's not a single military fatality. But it's a very geographically disparate series of violence. That's not to say that these weren't violent counties in the sense of police and military raids and of Republican activities falling short of killing. To take a very quiet county, Wicklow, which has less than 10 fatalities, I think it's 7, okay? Now, of those 7 fatalities, 3 arise from one incident where a justice of the peace, his house is burgled. And he would think he'd be a natural target for the IRA, but it's burgled by 2 newly arrived Black and Tans who are drunk. There's a struggle. One of them shoots him. The 2 Tans go back to their station, where one of them kills himself. The other tries to beat the rat, but is sentenced to death and is executed in June 1921. So 3 out of the 7 are from a single incident in which Republicans played no hand, act, or part, but resulted in 2 police deaths and 1 civilian death. So Wicklow was really very, very quiet. Now, did it? Wicklow Republicans did other things to contribute, you know, to the national struggle, but for whatever reason, they almost nobody in Wicklow dies.
I think, yeah, that's a good point, that, you know, the fact that some places were very violent and some places weren't so violent doesn't mean that nothing happened in the other places.
No, not at all. And if you were, I mean, to take another quiet county, very different kind of place than Wicklow, Cavan, which is, you know, very rural and so on, there's, I've counted, I think, 9 fatalities in Cavan, which is nobody would call a big number. Yet Cavan people have a narrative of police raids and military raids. They have a narrative of the IRA. They also have a narrative of loyalists. Mm-hmm. And they have a narrative to some extent of the UVF and so on, being active and being present. But Cavan wasn't necessarily a peaceful, quiet place, but it wasn't a place that produced a lot of attack, either on or by the security forces or by Republicans. Reduced a lot of death.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings me to my next question, which is some counties that we know not many people are killed. Where do people die in the Irish Revolution of that about 2,000 people?
They die in Cork, they die in Dublin, they die in Antrim. Antrim, in fact, is the highest number of civilian deaths. Antrim really means Belfast. Mm-hmm. Over 90% of fatalities there are civilian. In Cork, it's about 170 from nearly 500. So
500 in total in Cork?
Yeah, just under 500, about 170 civilians. So it's a much more violent war, if you like, you know, where a lot of civilians are killed, and a lot of them are killed in targeted killings. Far more security forces and IRA die. Mm-hmm. Okay?
So you've got Cork, Belfast, Dublin?
And Dublin, yeah. And Dublin, just over 300, I think it's about 320 Dublin, maybe a little less. About a third of deaths in Dublin are civilians. Dublin and Cork and even Belfast get a slight, terrible term to use, but a slight premium, because people are often brought from elsewhere to Dublin to big hospitals for care and to die. This only accounts for, you know, maybe 1% of all deaths.
Before even the Civil War, there was some violence between nationalists.
If you read the newspapers, you'll see between the truce and the outbreak of civil war, you have 11 months, or more than 11 months. You know, the guns don't stop firing. The place gets much quieter. Step aside from Northern Ireland and the issues there, and conflagration that arises from time to time there. In what becomes the Free State, you have, first of all, the emergence of effectively two contending forces, the provisional government forces, what becomes the National Army, and you have the IRA, the anti-treaty IRA. And secondly, because you have a lack of law and order, because the police are gone, and for all the claims that Republican police can keep order, very often parts of the country that haven't been very violent during the War of Independence, you do get, if you like, an element of disorder arising from the fact that there's lots of guns around, that there doesn't seem to be any enforceable law, and the people, particularly groups of young men, start taking what they want. You have a series of raids. I'm just thinking near where my dad grew up, around Letterkenny. There's obviously an armed group. In the end, two of them are shot by a farmer who into a house as they break, but they seem to have broken into a number of houses, killed one or two people before and after Christmas 1921. They don't seem to be political or claimed as political at all. In Leitrim, you have gangs who come down from the hills, like outlaws almost. You have this general, in a sense, problem of indiscipline, or civic indiscipline, whatever you want to call it. Certainly what the press regard, local press, as a continuation of disorder in many places. Westmeath, the Mullingar gets quite rough for a time, for example. And Mullingar had been a pretty sleepy hollow during the War of Independence. With the disappearance of Crown forces and the RIC, and perhaps because of differences between the pro and anti-treaty camps, nobody's really checking that the pubs are closing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's guarding the post office and so on. And so you get sort of armed petty crime.